So last week we started a sugya of Mavoi Akum Binarda, and that is on Daf Vav Amid Beis, approximately, I would say about 15 lines up, a little less than that from the bottom of the Amud. And we're talking about a Mavoi that bends around, but in this case, not just once, but twice. And it's not just an L-shaped, but as the Mefarshim call it, it's shaped like a ches. So you have, the ches has one line going from right to left, and then two lines coming down on its corners. And the Gemara is going to tell us that they required Chumris of both Rav and Shmuel in order to allow for Tiltul in this very sophisticated Mavui. Now, there are two entrances into this Mavui, on, so to speak, the bottom of the Ches, of the two legs of the Ches. And those entrances come from Rishus HaRabim. So you go either towards the right into this maze that goes around, or you go into the left. And the entrances to a Mavui always require a Lechi or a Korah. So he definitely has a Lechi or a Korah on the right, and the same on the left. That's for sure. Then, what do we have at the end of this, of these two flanks, if you will, you know, the right and the left? When you get to the end, and in each case you'd be making either left or right turn, we would have assumed that according to Rav, which we had back on Daf Vav and Aleph, Rav would call this a Mavui Mefulash, right? Because the Mavui, if you follow it around, you'll eventually go back to Rishus HaRabim. So you have two entrances to Rishus HaRabim. So we have now a Mavui with two entrances in Rishus HaRabim. That's called a Mavui Mefulash. And it was Rabbi Meir's opinion that you require a Tzuras HaPesach in what's called a Mokom Akmimus. Again, we had other interpretations of Rav, but we'll go right now with that interpretation. Now, in this case, in the Mavui Akum of Narda, there were two Mokom Akmimuses, right? Because there's not only one turn at the bend, but there's another turn at the other bend. So at those two bends, those two points in which the traffic flow bends, we're going to need a Tzuras HaPesach. However, here we have another Chumrah, and that is the Chumrah of Beis Hillel. We had another Braisa, and the Braisa of Chananya recorded the Shita of Beis Hillel, and he said that in a Mavui Mefulash, we need a Delis at one end. So you may recall that we had a corridor, that's the word we used, that would was going down Rishus HaRabim with rows of homes on both the right and the left, and Beis Hillel required, and this is a classic case of a Mavui Mefulash, right, because you enter from Rishus HaRabim, you go straight out from Rishus HaRabim. And Chananya's record of Beis Hillel was such that you needed a Delis on one end. Now in this case of Narda, if we follow the Shita of Beis Hillel, we're going to need a Delis at two ends, because we have a Mavi on the right and a Mavi on the left. So at the end, we're going to have two Dlossos. So for example, in this particular diagram, what we have is, instead of a Tzuras HaPesach in the Mokom HaKmimus, both one on the right and one on the left, which have been Rav Shita, we're going to advocate in favor of Beis Hillel. This is based on Shmuel. Shmuel is going to paskin like Beis Hillel. Against the Tanakama. The Tanakama would have been perfectly satisfied with a Tzuras HaPesach, but Beis Hillel requires a Delis. So you have a Lechi at one end and a Delis at the other end. You multiply that by two and you have a Delis and a Lechi. So instead of a Tzuras HaPesach in the Mokum HaKmimus on the right and on the left, you're going to have Delosos. So let's read the Gemara inside. Hahu Mavui Akum Dahavi bin Arda. Rami Ale, they imposed on the members of this Mavui Chumrei de Rav and Chumrei de Shmuel. Two sets of strict rules, or shall we say, requirements or conditions in order to allow carrying in this Mavui. On the one hand, Atzrechu Dlosos, in the two Makomos of what we call Akmimius, right, the bends, we required Dlosos, and then at the entranceway into each Mavui coming in from Rishus HaRav, one on the right, one on the left, required a Lechi or a Korah. And the Gemara explains now how this is a double Chumrah. Chumrei de Rav, this reflects the sheet of Rav against Shmuel, in the case of a Mavui Akum, the Omar Mavui Akum Toraso Kimifulosh, that we define the Mavui Akum as one continuous Mavui, even though it gets to a corner and it bends. And if you look at it as one continuous Mavui, then you have an opening in Rishus HaRav and an ending in Rishus HaRav. That's called Mefulash. And if we need a Tikkun of a Mavui Mefulash, then we're going to need a Tzuras HaPesach in the Mokum HaKmimus. Now again, if you go back to the Sugya of Mavoi Akum, which I don't have any interest right now in going through that sugya again, but we said that Rashi quotes another shita, and those are Rishonim who say that you don't need a tikkun at the Makom HaKmimus. So if that be the case, then Tosis is going to change the girsa here in Agamar in order to fit and reflect that shita in Rishonim. I'm just mentioning it on the side. I don't have the time now to go through that. But that's going to be Chumrei de Rav. Oh, so again, if it's Chumrei de Rav, then all we would need in order to be Matir Tiltul and set up a tikkun for a Mavui Mefulash is we need a Tzuras HaPesach. However, so the Gemara now asks, Va'amar Rav, if you're going with the Chumrei of Rav and you're considering this Mavui to be Mefulash, is then Alocha Ketanakama, Rav Paskins like the Tanakama, and all you need is a Tzuras HaPesach on one side, and a Lechi or a Korah on the other side. And the answer is, Kishmuel. We're going to accept the Chumrei of Shmuel, Di'amar Alocha Kechananya, which means Chananya in the name of Beis Hillel. And according to Chananya, in the name of Beis Hillel, instead of a Tzuras HaPesach, we must have a Delis. So the Gemara asks, well, Ha'amar Shmuel Torasu Kisasu. Shmuel doesn't even define a Mavui Akum as a Mavui Mefulash. He sees it as a Sasum, like he splits up each Mavui unto itself as an independent entity. And each Mavui has three mechitzos, because you end up with a wall at the end of the alleyway, and therefore you need is a lechi and a korah for each one of these two Mavuis. That's all. You don't even need a Tzuras HaPesach. Certainly, you don't need a delis. But the answer is kirav the omer kimefulash. So we're going to accept the chumrah of Rav, that a mavui akum is considered what? Is considered mefulash. Hence, we must have much more than just a lechi or a korah at each entranceway. We're going to need, at the end of each mavui, we're going to need a tzuras ha-pesach. But now we're going to add the chumrah of Shmuel, who paskins like Beis Hillel. And it's not enough to set up a tzuras ha-pesach, but rather we have to upgrade it to a delis. So we're going to need a delis on each side. And this is going to get the Gemara very upset, because the Gemara is going to say, Umi avdinan kitrei chumre. When we have a double machlokes, in this case, a double machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, number one, what is the status of a mavi akum, whether it's mefulash or sasum? Number two, what is the tikkun necessary for a mavi mefulash, whether it's tzuras ha-pesach or delis? You have a double machlokes here between Rav and Shmuel, then be consistent, either paskin like Rav or paskin like Shmuel. But to piggyback both chumras, one on top of the other, Vasanya, we have a brisa that says, Li olam halacha ki Beis Hillel. Now again, the fact that the brisa is talking about Beis Hillel, as far as we're concerned, that's purely coincidental. We're not interested here in Beis Hillel per se as a shita. What we're interested in is the abstract principle over here. And what is the abstract principle? That harotze lasos kedivrei Beit Shammai osa, kedivrei Beis Hillel osa. In other words, you can take one of these two shitos. You want to paskin, and you want to act like Beis Hillel's verdict, his ruling, fine. You want to take Beis Hillel, Shammai's ruling, fine. Kedivrei Beis Hillel osa, you can go ahead and accept Beis Hillel. You want to take the kulei Beit Shammai, you can go ahead and take the leniencies of Beit Shammai. Kulei Beis Hillel, you can go ahead and take the... Well, just one second, I'm sorry. Okay, so I jumped a little ahead of myself. What we're going to try to show here is that we're not going to take the coolest of both Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, and we're not going to take the chumras of both Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. So therefore, again, let's go through it one more time. Li olam halacha ki Beis Hillel. Ve'arotze lasos kedivrei Beit Shammai osa. Fine. So you have, as we said before, I think that was correct. You can accept Beit Shammai. Again, this has to do with something called a baskol, which we'll get to in just a minute, but we don't know anything about a baskol now. So at this point, you have two possibilities here. You could take Beis Hillel, you could take Beit Shammai. Fine. So kedivrei Beit Shammai osa, kedivrei Beis Hillel osa. Oh, now we have another person. And this person says, you know what? I'm going to take the kulei Beit Shammai and the kulei Beis Hillel. He's not committed to Beis Hillel as opposed to Beit Shammai or vice versa. He wants to pick and choose, you know, the kulo. So if Beit Shammai in a particular issue is the makil, he's more lenient, I'll follow him. If Beis Hillel is the makil in another issue or that same issue, I'll follow Beis Hillel. That's a Russia. That's not acceptable. You can't just pick and choose your kulos. Now, what about a person who says the following? Mechumre Beit Shammai, umechumre Beis Hillel. I'll always go lechumra. If Beit Shammai is more strict, I'll take Beit Shammai. If Beis Hillel is more stringent, I'll take Beis Hillel. All of Akosav Omer, and Shlomo HaMelech and Koheles describes such a person as Haksil B'choshech Holech. He's like a fool that goes in the dark. Ella, but rather, I kibet Shammai b'kuleyem u'kichumreyem, I kibet Silel k'kuleyem v'chumreyem. Again, you have a choice. You can either accept Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, but be consistent and be honest about it. So if you take Beit Shammai, you'll have certain kulos, you'll have certain chumros. And the same is going to be true if you accept Beis Hillel. But to take the chumras of both of them, that's also unacceptable. Although, again, he doesn't classify such a person as a Rasha. He's not, in that sense, he's not violating the Torah. But he's Ksil Bachoshech Holech. He's in the dark. He's shall we call him a fool? You know, sometimes I think when the Gemara calls you a fool, that's even worse than being called a rush. I don't know, I'm not sure. Anyway, so the Gemara says, wait a second, I don't understand this brisa. There's an internal contradiction in the brisa. Before you ask me a kasha from this brisa, just iron out the glitches in the brisa. Hagufa kasha. Amrit li'olam alocha kibes hillel. You opened up with this statement that we always paskin like Beis Hillel, v'hadar amrit, and then you said, harotza lasus kidire Beit Shammai osa. If he wants to go with Beit Shammai, he can go with Beit Shammai. You just told me that we always paskin like Beis Hillel, lo kasha kan, kodem baskol, v'kan li achar baskol. There was a historical moment in which a baskol came out from Shamayim and said that we accept Beis Hillel. Before that baskol, we had a flexibility. You could take Beis Hillel, you could take Beit Shammai. You get it, you have to be consistent about it, but you can accept the Shita of Beit Shammai. But after the baskol, then we accept the Shita of Beis Hillel. Now, this Gemara about a baskol is a sugya in Bava Metzia. We'll mention the sugya in just a moment, but just to give you a heads up, you know, this concept of a baskol is very, very problematic. We have a principle called Loba Shamayim. We don't accept any psak, any final ruling in halacha from the heavens. You know, it's got to be what we accept down here. So let's leave that question. We'll come right back to it. Don't think for one moment I'm not aware of that kasha. I'm very sensitive to that kasha.
Right. So can I ask a question?
Yeah, but don't ask me about a baskol. You know, go ahead. No, because again, you're gonna have to give me 5-10 minutes before we get into the discussion about a baskol.
No, it's not about that. The opening, it doesn't even mention Beit Shammai. It seems to be Tana Kama against Beit Hillel. Because Beit Shammai wants doors at both ends of a mavoi, and we don't have that situation in the akum.
Wait a second. Again, we're asking the following question: how can we accept the chumrah of Rav and at the same time the chumrah of Shmuel? We have a brisa that says that when you accept a certain opinion, you go with that opinion from beginning to end. Again, it happens to be we're talking about Beis Hillel, but forget that. That's purely coincidental. It happens to be that this discussion is about Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. The fact that our issue in terms of the Mavoi Akum of Nardoi also touches on Beis Hillel, that's totally irrelevant. We're just trying to set up principles here. Are there situations in which we accept the chumrah of two shitos? You know, there's a machlokas shin Rav and Shmuel, and that machlokas has to do with what's called a mavui akum, whether it's kimefulash or it's kisasum. We have another machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, about a case of a mavui mefulash, whether it needs a deles or whether it suffices with a tzuras ha-pesach. Decide who you want to accept. You want to accept Rav because you're committed to Rav? Accept Rav, and that'll give you his kulas and his chumras. You want to go with Shmuel? Accept Shmuel, his kulas and his chumras. And I'll prove it to you, because the Brisa says that don't accept the kulas of Beit Shammai and the kulas of Beis Hillel. Don't accept the chumras of Beis Hillel and the chumras of Beit Shammai. Decide who you want to paskin like. You want to accept the halach of this particular shita? Let it be Beit Shammai? Fine. You want to accept the shita of Beis Hillel? Fine, but don't start telling me that I'm gonna take this sheet of Beis Shammai, this sheet of Beis Hillel. Be consistent about it, and that's gonna give us a headache with what happened in Ardoa, because in Ardoa they paskin for them the chumra of Rav and the chumra of Shmuel, and that doesn't make any sense. That's not acceptable. Okay, then.
Now, understood.
Now in the Brisa itself, there's a problem because the opening line of the Brisa reads the following. Li'olam halacha kibes hillel, which seems to indicate that we don't have any flexibility over here. There's no room for accepting Beit Shammai. In the very next line, he says, "You want to take Beit Shammai? Take Beit Shammai, but just be consistent and always take Beit Shammai." So the Gemara says that's not an issue because kan kodem baskol kan li'achar baskol. Before the baskol, you have a choice. you can accept Beis Hillel, and then again, consistently go with Beis Hillel on every single issue. You can accept Beit Shammai, and you'll be consistent with Beit Shammai. After the Bas Kol, there's no flexibility. The Bas Kol was the final decisor that we always, always accept in any debate between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. We all accept the opinion of Beis Hillel. The Gemara now offers another answer. Iboy Seima Hava Holi Achar Bas Kol, that both statements are after the Bas Kol. For Rabbi Yeshua he delo mashkach bebaskol. Okay, who is Rabbi Yeshua who doesn't pay any attention to a baskol? So for this we have to give a little bit of a discussion about a Gemara in Bav Metzia, Daf Nun Tesam in Beis. It happens to be one of the most famous philosophical statements in all of Shas. The background was a massive debate, a controversy between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. At the end of this debate, they put Rabbi Eliezer into cherem. They put him into nidui. You know, they excommunicated him. It was such a ferocious pulmus, you know, a debate. It had to do with the status of an oven, as to whether or not this oven that's made up of little parts that were, the oven contracted tumah, a sheretz came onto the oven, and then they took apart the oven and put it back together again. It's called a tanur shalachnoi. And Rabbi Eliezer was insistent on his opinion, and the Chachomim were accepting the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua against Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer was adamant. He refused, he dissented, and he fought them tooth and nail. And at some point, he said that if I'm right, then there'll be a proof coming out of heaven. And a divine voice came about from heaven that said, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. And at the end of the day, the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua, rejected the Bas Kol. And he says, no, we don't rely on a Bas Kol. That's called Lo Bashamayim. The halacha is not determined in the heavens. But Rabbi Eliezer brought other proofs, and he did miracles, and he said, if I'm right, the walls of the Beis Medrash are going to start caving in, and different things that happen, the water is starting. Anyway, at the end of the day, Rabbi Eliezer insisted that he's right. He refused to accept the opinion of the rabbis, even though we have a principle that says that we go by the rov, by the majority, and they put him into nidui. They put a whammy on him. It's a very, very profound Gemara. But in any event, it turns out that there's a debate as to whether or not we rely on a Bas Kol. So now the Gemara is offering the following reconciliation. That if you say Liolam Halacha Kibeis Hillel, that means you rely on the Bas Kol. And the Bas Kol said that we always pasken like Beis Hillel. In the next line in the Braisa, which says Harotza Lasus Kedir Beis Shammai Osa, that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua. And Rabbi Yeshua rejected a Bas Kol. We don't rely on a Bas Kol. So I'll read to you here a note. Again, I don't want to go into too much detail about the Gemara in Bava Metzia, but at least it's kedai to know about it. It's probably a lot more famous than the sugya of the Mavui of Nardoi. Anyway, Yotza Bas Kol min Hashamai v'amar Halacha ki Rabbi Eliezer amar Rabbi Yeshua. Nemar Bator, it says in the Torah, Lova Shamayim hi, V'ein Kovin Aloch Al Pi Bas Kol. Setosis, which is Dibra Maskil Khan. One second, I'm just not finding it this second. Anyway, it's the last Tosis on Vav Amid Beis. Setosis asks the following question. How does Rabbi Yeshua know that we don't rely on a Bas Kol? Hello, Rabbi Yeshua. Omer es dvar v'machlokis Rabbi Eliezer Chachom be'inyon tanuro shalachnoi shebas kol horoso neged amavur b'torach re'rabim lahatos. He asks the following question. Rabbi Eliezer was the minority opinion, right? We call it the dissenting minority. And the Bas Kol came out to support the minority opinion. When we say we don't rely on a Bas Kol, that's because of a different principle that the Torah itself establishes, Achrei Rabim Lahatos. The Torah already has mandated that we rule in halacha according to the majority. That's why we don't pay attention to the Bas Kol. But Tosfos says it could be that in the case of Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, we're not talking about a majority one way, a majority the other way. Maybe we should, and even Rabbi Yeshua would rely on the Bas Kol. It's also possible that the reason why they didn't rely on the Bas Kol in that case of Rabbi Eliezer is because the Bas Kol specifically came out from the heavens in order to protect the glory or the honor of Rabbi Eliezer. So how do we know that in general we don't accept a Bas Kol? Maybe those, you know, that case, for the various reasons that we offered, is a very exceptional case. Satosis answers that when Rabbi Yeshua made the declaration there in Masechta Bamitzi, he said, Lo b'shamayim hi, he meant to say that this is a rule, a hard call principle, an absolute rule that has no exception, Lo b'shamayim hi, which means that the Torah gave the reins of determining halacha over to transfer these reins over to the Chachamim down here on earth, and it gave up any control or any decision making authority that was in Shamayim, you know, before the Torah was given. The Torah was up in Shamayim, but once the Torah was given down in this earth, the Torah itself, Shamayim in the heavens, they forfeited any sort of rights over halacha, of determining halacha. And that's what Rabbi Yeshua meant when he said, Lo b'shamayim hi, and that's a rule that knows no exception. And that means that we don't pay any attention to a Bas Kol. So even though there was a Bas Kol that says we always paskin like Beis Hillel against Beit Shammai, but according to this rule of Lo b'shamayim hi, we're not going to rely on that Bas Kol, and hence the Braisa says that you can accept the Shita of Beit Shammai. However, you have to accept the Shita of Beit Shammai and go with Beit Shammai consistently, or go with Beis Hillel consistently, but don't start picking and choosing. Ibo Yisem of the Gemara offers a third answer, that Eino Chinami and Machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, we go like Beis Hillel, and we always go like Beis Hillel, we don't go like Beit Shammai. The Mishnah says, Harotza lasos ki Beit Shammai osahochi kamer. This is what the Mishnah has in mind. Kol hecha de mishkachas trei tanoi trei amoroi de pligi adodi ki ein machlokes Beit Shammai Beis Hillel. Let's say that the machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai surfaces in a different debate. When I say a different debate, I don't mean in terms of the content of the debate, but rather in terms of the personalities. So you could have two different debates between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel, and you could find a machlokas between another two Tanoim on these two issues, so double that machlokas. And in such a case, since you have other Tanoim who debated the same issue as Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, were no longer bound by the rule of Halacha k'Beis Hillel, and therefore we're free to take the Shita of Beit Shammai. But again, we have to take the Shita of Beit Shammai consistently. So again, the exception to the rule of Halacha k'Beis Hillel is going to be a case where the same issue that controversy that divides Beis Hillel Beit Shammai surfaces amongst other Tanoim. And if there are other Tanoim who reiterated, so to speak, these two views, the same debate came up, the debate of Beis Hillel Beit Shammai came up between other Tanoim, then already we're free, because we're no longer committed to accept Beis Hillel, because there's another school of thought that accepted Beit Shammai even amongst the Tanoim themselves. But the Braisa tells us, Lo le'evid ki kule demar v'chi kule demar, v'lo ki chumre demar v'chi chumre demar, ela oki kuli demar ke chumre ovid, oki kuli demar ke chumre ovid. It means we're not allowed to take the leniency of one opinion and the leniency of another opinion. We're not allowed to take the stringency of one opinion and then the stringency of another opinion, but rather our behavior, what we call normative halacha in the fancy terminology, has to be consistent. Either we can accept one opinion both with his kulos and his chumros, or the other opinion both with his kulos and his chumros. But whatever it is, we have to be consistent. And now we come back to our Gemara, because our Gemara, Mikol Makom Kasha, accepts in Ardoi, they accepted the Chumra of Rav with regard to Mavui Okum equals Mavui Mefulosh, and we accepted the Chumra of Shmuel with regard to a Mavui Mefulosh that needs a Deles, and a Tzuris HaPesach will not suffice. Is Mikol Makom Kasha? How can we accept the two Chumras? Either we should go consistently with Rav, both Lekula Lechumra, or we should be consistent and accept Shmuel, Lekula Lechumra. Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, you made a mistake. It's not that we were machmir in Nardoi, like the Chumra of both Rav and the Chumra of Shmuel, Kuli Karav of Duha, but rather we accepted the Sheet of Rav, and even... So again, the Sheet of Rav, which means that a Mavui Okum is considered a Mavui Mefulosh, and even Rav would agree that in this particular case of a Mavui Mefulosh, we need a Delis. And again, in this case, we're going to need a Delis at the end of each Akmumiyah, so we'll need two Dlossos. Why? Says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, because I have a statement of Rav Huna in the name of Rav, halacha v'ein morin kain. Now this is a very interesting construct. I'll do the best I can to try to explain it. And what's happening is that we very often, this is common by the way, it's not rare, we accept an opinion, a ruling, in abstract, but for any number of variety of reasons, we don't teach that ruling. We don't profess it. We don't tell the nation, you know, the congregation to follow that opinion, even though we accepted that opinion. That's called halacha. We accepted that opinion in abstract terms, and that's halachic principle, but ein morin kein, but we don't give a horah. Horah means we don't teach it to others. And generally speaking, the reason for halacha v'ein morin kein is because the chachamim felt that the people weren't ready for it. They would somehow misconstrue the halacha, and they would apply it and extend it to cases based on their own logic, which would not be halachically viable. Here's an example in our sugya of halacha v'ein morin kein. Rav paskind like the shita of the Tanakama. The Tanakama of Hananya was very happy with a Tzuras HaPesach. He did not require a Delis. However, Ein Morin came. Rav himself said that even though that is the pristine, abstract halacha, that's the principle, we don't require a Delis, but Ein Morin came, meaning if the issue comes up in a practical sense, then we're going to paskin like Beis Hillel, the way Hananya formulates Beis Hillel. We're going to require Delis, and it would not be enough to have a Tzuras HaPesach. And that's called Ein Morin. We don't teach, and we don't we don't implement this ruling even though in abstract terms we accepted the ruling of the Tanakama, and Tzuras HaPesach would be enough, but Lamaisa, Rav would say that we have to be machmir like Beis Hillel, and we have to require a Deles, and it's not enough to rely on the Tanakama Shita of a Tzuras HaPesach. Now, exactly why Rav added this Ein Morin Kein, that I can't answer you. I don't know the answer to that question. I haven't given up on it. I'm hoping to find some commentary that will shed a light on why Ein Morin Kein. I suspect it's just a feeling in my bones, intuitively, that because there's a machlokas here between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, Rav felt that we always pasken like Beis Hillel against Beit Shammai. Again, this is an exception to the rule because we have other chachamim who jumped into this whole fray, and they had a different opinion, which is not that of Beis Hillel. But since it's also Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, Beit Shammai required two dlosos at both ends of this corridor, and Beis Hillel suffices with one delos. So we don't want to project some sort of a mistaken impression that we don't paskin like Beis Hillel as a general rule. Let the people think that we paskin like Beis Hillel. Nothing is lost by that. You know, if they put up a deles instead of a Tzuras HaPesach, ma tovu ma noy. You know, that's even better. Let's try to project the out there to the public that we paskin like Beis Hillel, because we always paskin like Beis Hillel. Now the Gemara asks the following kasha. Ularad Rav Ado Bar Ava Omar Rav, the Omar Halacha Umorin Kain. There are two versions of what Rav actually said. According to Rav Huna's version, Rav said Halacha V'ein Morin Kain. Rav Ado Bar Ava had a different tradition, and he heard Rav say Halacha Umorin Kain, that we do paskin like the Tanakama, that in the case of Movi Mefulash, we don't require Dlossos, and all that we need is a Tzuras HaPesach. So now, how do we understand that in Ardoi, they accepted the sheet of Rav, Lechumra, that the Mavui Okum is considered a Mavui Mefulosh, and then they went with the Chumra of Shmuel, that we paskin like Beis Hillel, and we require Delis. Rav himself said, no, we don't require a delis. Just put up a Tzuras HaPesach v'dayenu. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Shizbi, let's go back to the Braisa and the principle that we derive from that Braisa. Kilo avdin and kechumrei debei trei, when the Braisa discourages us from taking the chumra of two different shitos, and the Braisa advocates that we have to be consistent, and if you're passing like Rav, then accept Rav all the way, both L'chumra and L'kula. If you're passing like Shmuel, go all the way and consistently accept Shmuel. But don't take the chumras of Rav and the chumras of Shmuel. Heicha d'sasri adadi. That only applies in a case where there's a logical inconsistency, meaning there are two issues and they are interdependent. What we call in the language of Shas, ha-ba-ha-talia. The Gemara now is going to give us a wonderful demonstration of a situation in which we would be involved in a contradiction if we took both the Chumra of Beis Hillel and the Chumra of Beit Shammai. We'd be involved in an inner contradiction. In our case of Rav and Shmuel, we're not involved in a contradiction. There are two independent issues, and I can take the sheet of Rav in one issue and the sheet and accept the sheet of Shmuel in another issue. There's nothing logically inconsistent. Why? Because one issue is how to define a mavi akum, and the other issue is how to be metake a mavi mefulash. And they're two independent issues. And by taking the chumra of both, I in no way involve myself in a self-contradiction. When the Braisa says, don't take the chumras of one shita and the kulas of another shita, as we'll soon see, the Gemara is going to illustrate this, it means by taking the chumra of one shita and the chumra of another shita, you're involved in a mutually exclusive contradiction. So again, all this sounds very abstract. You have to bear with me for another few minutes, because we'll see it in reality, and then we'll understand the principle. Now, the sugya we're about to learn is a sugya in Masechta Olos, which is called Tumas Mes. And there's an entire Masechta dedicated to the laws of, let's say in one scenario, this is the most popular scenario, most common, where there's a dead body under a roof, meaning in a house, and there's a live person, utensils as well, but in any event, live person in the OL, in the same house. Now, in such a case, the Torah says that there's something called Tumas Mes or Tumas Ohel, and the person inside the Ohel with the corpse is going to contract Tuma. If he's a Kohen, that's not good news, because a Kohen is not allowed to contract Tuma, and not only that, he's going to be excluded from the Avoda for that period of time until he purifies himself. And now the mission that we want to discuss addresses the case of part of a dead body, part of a corpse, and not the whole corpse. And this discussion will divide up into two major situations. One is called a shidra, and the other is called a gulgoles. The shidra is the spinal column, and the gulgoles is the head. The skeleton head. And they're two different cases. So that you found yourself in an OL with a skeleton. What part of the skeleton? Two different cases. One case is you've got the shidra, which is made up of what's called chulios. Chulios, in English, I think you call it vertebrae. And the other case is a case of gulgolus, which means you have the head. Is there an English word for the head? I don't know. Anyway, the head of a skeleton. Skull. What is it called? Skull. Oh, that's the word.
Skull.
Yeah, the skull. Sorry, I haven't heard that word in a long time. The skull. Okay. Now, what happens if you're in the same oil as a complete spinal column, you know, with all the vertebrae? So that represents the body of a man, and you contract tumor. Or, in the case of a skull, a human skull, that also represents the body of a man. So even though all that's in this oil is a skull, that skull, so to speak, represents, according to the halacha, these are all Doraisa halachas, that represents the entire corpse. Now, what this mission is going to address is what happens if a vertebrae, or more than one, is lacking, is missing. Or, in the case of a skull, let's say the skull is missing a little bit of the bone. Right? Let's say there was a hole inside the skull, and the guy was killed with an arrow, so went through his skull. Anyway, so what could be missing, and yet it's still considered that it's all there, so to speak? How much could we, at what point do we say, you know what, you're missing so much, it's no longer representative of the entire body, and therefore it's not makabel tumah? Now, here's the point. If we can get this down, this mathematical principle, it'll be very helpful. The less that's missing is the greater the chumra. In other words, I'm sorry, just the opposite. Sorry, my mathematical brain. If you lower the standards of what could be missing in order to say, well, it's missing something. For example, if I would say that this spinal column, if it's missing one single vertebrae, then it's no longer representative of the entire body. That's called a kula. If on the other hand I say no, we can allow for the, you know, one vertebrae to be missing, but if two vertebrae, two chulios are missing, that's when it's no longer representative. That's going to be a chumra. Now why is that a chumra? Because then you're telling me that if one vertebrae is missing, there still is tumas ohel. Okay? So see if you can put that down on paper, you know. Now, we're going to talk about another issue. And this issue depends upon the first issue, but it's going to come out just the reverse. That when you lower the standards, that's going to be, right, a lower the amount that's missing, that's going to turn out to be a chumra. And that's the law of trefa. Trefa means that after the shechita, we check the animal, and if lo and behold, we find that part of the animal that's biologically normal is missing, it's a trefa. Now here in this case, if I tell you that only one vertebrae is missing, and therefore it's not metame in oil because it's no longer a full-fledged spinal column, that is a very nice kula in Tumah Vitara, because then we're going to say that the absence of one vertebrae means that you don't have a mess, and therefore there's no Tumah. That's great. That's great, happy news. That's a real kula. But it's going to become, on the flip side, a chumra, a stringency in the laws of trefa, because then I'm going to say that if I find after Shechita that the animal was missing one single vertebrae, then it's no longer a complete, you know, shidra. It's no longer a complete spinal column. So let's read it inside. Kigon shidra vigulgoles. Tisna, we learned it in Mishnah in the second parak of Olos. Hashidra vagulgoles. Shechosru. Chosru means that we find that they're missing. And if they're missing, it's not shalem, right? Chisarn is the opposite. The flip side is called shalem. It's complete. And it's not metame bi-oel. Again, if you touch it, if you have physical touching contact with it, that's a different story. That's called mago maso. That's for sure is metame. But in terms of an ol, the ol, if you didn't come in an actual touching with the mess, it's only metame because you were in the same ol with a mess, and this part of the mess, which is usually represented to the mess, is now chaser. It's missing a piece. Kama chisarn b'shidra. In the case of the shidra, which is the spinal column, how much would be missing in order that we could be makil, we could be lenient and say that's not represent, no longer is a complete shidra, and therefore you're not metami tumas oel. So here we have machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai omrim shtei chulyos. That's a big chumra. Why? Because Beit Shammai is saying that if only one chulya is missing, then it's metami bi-oel. Beis Hillel omrim chulya achas. If one single vertebrae is missing, then it's no longer representative of the mess, and there's no tumas ol. That's a tremendous kula. Ubilgilgolas. And as a parallel machlokas with regard to the skull, Beit Shammai omrim kimelo makdeach, which means if, let's say, you would take a drill and you would drill into a piece of piece of metal, or drill a hole in a piece of wood, and that's considered In the language of Shas, that's called Sela. Sela Samach Lamed Ayin, which is a coin. In other words, we don't have to be carpenters to know what's considered a Kimlomach Deach, you know, if he drills a hole. All we have to know is the size of a Sela. And again, you know, there are people, scholars, who will spend their life trying to figure out what exactly is the size here. But anyway, there's something called the size of Kimlomach Deach, which is equal to a Sela. Okay. Ubeisil omrim kadeshi notel minachai viyomus. Basil is going to say that if you're missing from the skull an amount that if it were to be taken out of a live person or a live animal, then it would cause its death. Now, where is the chumra and where is the kula? So let's see. In the case of Shidra, we said that Beit Shammai was the machmir. Correct, Beit Shammai was the machmir, because if it's missing one chulya, it's still metame. In the case of Gulgoles, let me just give me a minute to get the math here. In the case of Gulgoles, right? Just one second. In the case of Gulgoles, I think, write this down in case I made a mistake, but what I think is that Beit Shammai, in the case of Gulgoles, are the, just one second, that even if it's only, if it's only a Sela, then it would still be Tomei. Right, is Beit Shammai again is going to be machmir? Why? Because they're gonna require a larger shear to be missing of this skull in order for it to be tar, that it's no longer a mess. A larger shear. So if let's say they only had the shear of kideshi notel minachai v'yomus, which is Beis Hillel's shear, then it would be metame. Whereas Beis Hillel says once it has that smaller shear, that more limited size of what's missing, kideshi notel, because apparently just a very serious fracture to the skull would cause the death of the person. So that small fracture is enough to already undermine the status of the Gulgoles. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the Chaim Le'inyan Trefa, that the same machlokas that we have with regard to the Shidra and the Gilgolas in Tuma applies to Trefa, which means that how much was missing from the Shidra, how much was missing from the Gilgolas, in order that we determine and establish that this animal is a Trefa. And what's going to turn out now is that Beis Shammai's Chumra in Tumas Oel is now going to be a Kula in Trefa, because Beis Shammai says L'Chumra that even if the Shidra is missing one Chulya, it still retains the status of a mess until it's missing two Chulyos. So that's the Chumra of Beis Shammai. Right, he's being metame. Now he has a kula, because now he's going to say it's not trefa unless it's missing two vertebrae. Beis Hillel and Mekel and Tumas Oel, and they hold that if you're missing one single vertebrae, it's already not considered a shidra. It's already chaser, and therefore it's not metame Tumas Oel. That's a kula of Beis Hillel. But now in Truma, Trefa, it's a Chumra, because now Beis Hillel is going to take the position that if it's missing, the animal is missing only one vertebrae, it's Treif. And we can apply the same logic to Gulgoles, which means the following, that if the Gulgoles is missing a lower shear, which is the shear of Beis Hillel, then Beit Shammai would say that it's still it still is a gulgolas, and it's metami tumas oil. Right? Even though it's missing the shear of kidei sheinotel menachai v'yomus. So that's the chumra of Beis Shammai linyan le'inyan tuma. But linyan treifa becomes a kula, because the behema in such a case, where it only has that lower shear, is not considered a treifa, according to Beit Shammai. And Beisila mekel inyan tuma, and a machmir le'inyan treifa. Oh, so in this case, the Gemara is saying that if you would paskin like both Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, let's say, for example, you would say as far as Tuma Vitara, meaning as far as all is concerned, you'll accept the Chumra Beis Hillel, but then you're going to take the Chumra Beit Shammai as far as Treifa is concerned. So then you're involved in a logical contradiction, because these two shittas of Beis Hillel Beit Shammai are interdependent, and both Beit Shammai will be consistent in terms of one chulia as opposed to two chulias of Beis Hillel. So you can't tell me that you're going to accept Beit Shammai le'inyan tuma and Beis Hillel le'inyan treifa, because then you're involved in a logical contradiction. But if there's no logical contradiction of Dinan, then we're allowed to take the chumras of both opinions. So the din of Rav, that a mavui akum has the status of a mavui mefulash, does not contradict the din of Shmuel, who paskins like Hananya and like Beis Hillel, that a mavui mefulash needs two dlosos, and we can accept the chumras of both of them. And that's the shita of Rav Ada Bar Ava. Okay then, so what we're up to, Mirtz Hashem, for tomorrow is Ve'hecha desasri adodi lo avdina. So let's see if we can make a note of it.